Everyone, good to see everyone. Thank you, young people. Wonderful, wonderful play. I want to thank the not only the young people for all of their hard work. While I am giving the accolades, so to speak, open your Bible to Luke chapter 2. We want to thank not only the children for their hard work. Thank you, teachers, for doing it with them. But I have to pay special attention to the unsung heroes, and that is parents who'd rehearsed it over and over and over and over at home. So to get their lines, so the kids, they did wonderful. So to God be the glory. What a tremendous message, and I love it. Sang loud enough for a guy who wear hearing aids, heard him clear in the back. That's a good thing, and so we thank the Lord for that. Christmas is a great time of year. And one of the things that we often miss as Christians, because we get so caught up in the commercialization of the world, or we get caught up in the doom and gloom of what's happening in the world and around us. I hope to tonight share what tonight a message that would help us to zero in what Christmas is all about and the fruit that it's supposed to produce. So call your attention to verse 8. Let's read to verse 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the presentation we witnessed tonight. We thank you for the reading of your word that tells us the truth of what happened 2,000 years ago that began redemptive history. The fruition of all the prophecy being fulfilled. And Lord, they were not only to bring hope for sinners, salvation through Christ Jesus, through his atoning work on the cross. It was to produce a reconciliation, a joy of being the children of God, adopted into the family. But Lord, there's nothing like hope. Hope of forgiveness, hope of cleansing. When a sinner feels the weight of their sin, the guilt of their sin, the ultimate punishment of their sin, it is a heavy burden. And yet when it's relieved, when it's forgiven, what great joy filled the soul of a forgiven sinner. And so Lord, as we look at these words tonight, this is where it all began. It all began with the birth of Christ, all of the prophecy beginning in time. And so, Lord, may we take joy and rejoicing in this. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, and every person born, beginning with them to this day, had made history. Since the dawn of time, there have been millions, billions, and trillions of events that have taken place. All of the significant events in history, some left an impact on towns, regions, a country, even multiple countries. Some influences last for months, years, or even a generation. But an event rarely had a global effect or its ripple effect lasting beyond those who first witnessed and were still felt to this day. The top three greatest and most influential moments in history involve one person. His name is Jesus Christ. The three greatest, without question, events in all of history. Everything that has ever happened from Adam and Eve to this day, the three greatest. The birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Nothing had more impact and significance than those three events. And we and many in the world to this day celebrate on our calendar yearly those three events. Tonight we watch a play trying to grasp the moment of the first of the greatest events, the birth of Christ. When we span all human history, and Paul said 2,000 years ago in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, he said that, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This event, along with the other two, had the common connection of being part of redemptive history. God had prophesied throughout the Old Testament of a person, the Messiah, to come. He would anticipate it. It was the long-expected anticipation. But this prophecy of redemptive history did not enter into time until around the birth of Christ, obviously starting with the birth of John the Baptist. This is what it meant by, in the fullness of time, God began to work in time to put to fruition all of those prophecies, to fulfill all of those prophecies. Luke chapter 2, call your attention to verse 10 and 11 are the two verses that I want to key off of tonight. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is one born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." In verse 10, the angel simply started by saying this, "Do not fear, don't need to be afraid. I am bringing you good news, not fearful news, not dreadful news, good news. And the good news will bring great joy." What is the news? The news is, this day, born to you, the people of the planet Earth, to this day, born to you in today in Bethlehem, city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Christ is that Old Testament term, that meaning the Anointed One, the Messiah in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the idea of Christ, that is titled. So we have to see and understand and sense the spirit of joy that permeated around the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about it, once the news was passed on from the angels and from people sharing and interacting about what was said. For example, when Elizabeth came to Mary about the Christ child in Luke chapter 1, verse 42 and 44, listen to the spirit in which the news was said. She spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." The word blessed is joy and rejoicing. Happy. "But why is it granted to me that a mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Even John the Baptist, in the womb of his mother, got excited about the news of the coming Savior. Mary's response to being the one to bring the Savior in the world was recorded in Luke chapter 1. A couple verses later, in verse 46 and 47, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior." When you go throughout the Bible, you go throughout the Old and New Testament, it is a major theme throughout the Bible, and that is the theme of joy and rejoicing. Biblical joy is people responding with joy and rejoicing in God Himself and His work of grace towards them. God is the source and cause of all joy. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from Him. He is the cause and the source. Matthew Miller said it this way, quote, "Of all the gifts God has ever given, Christ is the greatest. And so of all the joy we should ever experience in response to God's gift, this joy is the greatest." And it all started with the birth of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk briefly about the joy of Christmas. When you look at the Old Testament, the Old Testament had its vocabulary several keywords that are offshoots and synonyms for joy and rejoicing and great happiness. But only three times in the Old Testament did it ever use great joy. Great joy. Three times. Coronation of Solomon, the recovery of the Passover under Hezekiah, and the dedication of the rebuilt walls after the exile in Nehemiah. While joy is prominent in the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, the idea, the concept of joy, rejoicing, is found over 400 times. But the idea of great joy, though joy is used a lot in the Bible, great joy is rarely used. Extremely rare, and it is special. So, beloved, that is why our heart should leap for joy when we open the New Testament to hear the angel's announcement to the shepherds. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy. Those words should have just leaped out, which shall be to all people. Later, a couple years later, when the wise men finally came, and they rejoiced in the star pointing to Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over them where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Again, it's interesting. The literal rendering of this word could be translated mega joy. Mega joy. Not joy, not kind of more than joy, but great mega joy. Those two words stand out even more when we recognize that they are not paired together again until one of the other greatest events in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the two women departed from the empty tomb to bring the good news to the rest of the disciples in Matthew 28:8, and so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Luke 24, verse 51 through 53 says it this way. Now it came to pass that while he blessed them, that he had parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Was this a special occasion? Absolutely. One of the three greatest events of all time. The birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and in this case that I just read, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is it but the mega joy of redemptive history? Now, the world kind of dismissed it, don't think it's important. I don't think I'm a sinner. I don't need forgiveness. That's the problem. That's why it's our duty and job to be ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation, to bring the message to sinners, just like people brought it to us, that God uses us, imploring them to come and be reconciled to God. But here, the coming of Christ, it viewed by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his, listen to these words, indescribable gift. Unsurpassing gift of God's Son. Isaiah said it this way, 9:6, you all know it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the birth of Christ, considering all of human history, as some would say, Christmas split time in half. Christmas split history in half. What do we mean? Before Christ, after Christ. Prophecy, fulfilled prophecy. You'd like the great prophecies of Christ's first coming, beloved. We're all fulfilled to the absolute T and perfection. So true are all the prophecy of his second coming. Is that not a great cause and reason for the joy and having joy, beloved? So I ask the question, in light of his first coming and the promise of his second coming, why do we have long faces? Why do we have droopy spirits? Titus said it this way. Paul said it this way to Titus, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 15:13 said it this way. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, beloved, this is a time when we celebrate the incarnation, the birth of Christ, the first coming of Jesus Christ, however way you want to frame it. It was to begin redemptive history. It is a great event. It's one of the three greatest. Nothing compared to it. Let's remember the words of the angel to the shepherds that night. Let me read them again. This time I'll add one more verse. Behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in the manger. Beloved, those of us who have put our hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that not great joy? Is that not mega joy? Let's have great joy during this time of the season when we realize all that Christ did. Sinners are going to create the doom and gloom of this world, but Christ gave us hope. Christ gave us joy, but that joy and good news is only found in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great method and the great gift of the giving of your Son to us. May we look to you, see you as our only hope, not only for salvation, but reason and purpose for living. You are our source of real, genuine, lasting joy. Lord, when we look at all of the events of history, nothing compared to these three, but it all began with the birth of Christ the Lord. And the angelic beings of heaven came down to announce it. And it was good news. It was great joy as a result of that news. And so, Lord, may we during this time, in the midst of the hustle and bustle of this time and this season, may we always contemplate and meditate what it's all about, the reality of the situation, that in the fullness of time, you brought your Son into this world, for which we are forever and eternally grateful. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.